your project around public education. Just so that all your listeners know, my name is Peggy Wirtz Olson, and I'm a high school art and English teacher.
I was wondering that.
And I'm serving as the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. So I'm an educator like you, right?
Yes.
And so really your question around what can educators, you know, collectively do, right? So your union, as Tony so aptly pointed it out, there's a local union in every single school district in Wisconsin. So if you're a new educator or you're an educator and you didn't know how to find your local union, go to WEAC.org and we should be able to connect you with that local union. If in fact no one has reached out to say, I'm with your education association, join with us. The work that we do collectively, I think, is the place I'd like to start in terms of what it means to be part of your local union or your education association, however you want to frame it. Teachers coming together to raise their voices on behalf of what our students need. Mm-hmm. We like to think of it as our students' learning conditions. They're our working conditions, right? So what is going on with our kids in our classrooms every single day? Those conditions impact our students and they impact each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. So the primary reason, and we can talk more specifics as we continue our conversation today, but the primary reason to join your union or your education association is that we're all stronger together. When we raise our voices as a collective, there's nothing we can't accomplish.
Well said, I agree. And I should add that I also served as our local president for several years, vice president prior to that, and have always been actively involved in our state union and our local unions, and continue to do so as a retired teacher. I should put a plug in there because our work doesn't end when we retire. And actually, this is what led Tony and I to this work, because we're not done. We're not done advocating or being a part of public education, and this was a way we could do it. I think making sure people understand the value in the work that is being done, because I think sometimes, especially as new teachers, right, we are so overwhelmed with everything that is the start of a beginning of your career, that is the start of the school year, that you might not have the time or opportunity to be that voice, to be that advocate. You might not even have time to kind of navigate what everything in the handbook means. What does this contract that I sign mean? What about this staff meeting? What about my prep time? What about my benefits package? So those are important working conditions to consider as well. And that's where your union can also be a support. They can help you navigate through that so you fully understand your rights as an educator, your working conditions as an educator, and making sure that the expectations that are set forth in the handbook, you know, are followed so we can do the work that we are here to do. I know as a new teacher, I had a lot to learn, and there were things that I didn't fully understand, from little things to big things, that the more I educated myself and our union educated me, I was better able to be an advocate for myself and for my students. I'm not sure if maybe you've had a similar experience, Tony or Tim. I don't want to dominate the conversation because sometimes I get talking and I won't stop.
Well, I'll throw it out to Tim. So, Tim, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you have become this president of Monona Grove.
Monona Grove.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and then how you got involved with the union from the beginning until now.
I'm Tim Gollop from Monona Grove, and I'm a seventh grade math teacher. I've been with the district about 25 years. And my journey with the union has been, sometimes there were years I didn't join. You know, before Act 10, we were all part of, we had that collective voice. We were all automatically members. And in my different roles, supporting new teachers as a mentor, being, you know, coordinators and things, I felt like at times maybe just being part of the school and that small community is enough. But I found during those years that there are things in our handbook that I didn't understand. There were opinions that I had that maybe I shared with others. I didn't know who else was going to take those opinions beyond the building level, more to that district level. And I had a big fear of, and ignorance of like what happens at a school board meeting, what happens, what is this with politics and referenda and the money and the budget. So in the last, I'd say 10 years, as being a stronger union member, asking how I could get involved, there were different roles that opened up. And this last year was my first year as union president. A learning curve for sure. And in our district, we also had a new superintendent, new deputy superintendent, new business and HR. So what I've learned is the union does a lot of things that are kind of behind the scenes alongside our educators and staff, and then also in front of them. So I appreciate you having me here. And the working conditions, that handbook, I would say that's not just beginning teachers. There are many veteran teachers that you don't look at those details until you need that that language in there, whether it's an improvement plan, whether it's taking certain personal leave. What if you exhaust that leave? What's FMLA and what is your district? How do you work with your district and HR to get all of that improved and approved? So happy to be here. Thanks for asking and looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Tim. That is such an important point. I love that you share that you weren't always an active member of the union, and there were times when you weren't even a part of the union, but sharing through your story how you recognize the value of that, and not only recognize the value in joining your union, but now you're leading your union, and that's important.
It's a testimony. It's the testimonials of my colleagues, the ones I respect. You know, I think the trainings I've been to that with WEAC and about membership drives, all that's very important. Yes, we need to know what our success is. And we're going to share those here, I think, today, local successes and state level. But it's also about those the connections, and it's about timing, because there is a cost with joining.
It's
not a donation to some nonprofit that we're just like, oh, do you want to give, you know, this part of your paycheck? There are benefits and there's values. We want to make sure we're sharing that. But it doesn't have to be all sales pitch. It's not just about the protections if something goes wrong. It's really about hearing from your neighbor, your colleagues that have worked alongside you and how the union has benefited them. And when that timing's right, people do join. We get members all year, not just at the, not just new hires at the beginning of the year.
So what are some, you just mentioned some of the benefits. I feel like we should kind of explore some of those benefits. So if you're a teacher just joining a school district, or a veteran teacher like you, perhaps that hasn't been part of a union and then kind of joined a union or joined because of your colleagues. Peggy, what are some of the benefits of joining a union?
Well, I like to think of it as our union. So one of the ways that, you know, we talk about our union, right, is that the union is us. In our acronym, the Wisconsin Education Association Council, right, it starts with WE, it starts with we, right? We are the union. So the local educators joining together in their school district is what makes the union. That means that they're advocating in each of their locals, leaders here among us, right? You're advocating for the issues that matter to you and the members that you're working next door to and across the hall from. In terms of what we do or some successes, I know you had wanted me to talk a little bit today about some things we're fighting for and some wins that we've seen.
Yes, I love it.
In the last number of years, we've really leaned in as the state union around the issues that our members have lifted up to us. And one of those is Fair Pay Now. And educators, at the end of the day, Tim said it very pointedly, right? Like, this is a profession. And so we, when in a profession, we advocate to make sure that every single one of our members can make ends meet. They can pay their bills. They can pay their student loans, right, for our newest educators. And they can afford to own a home in the community they live in. So at the end of the day, the Fair Pay Now campaign has been incredibly successful for our educators in districts across the state, fighting for the full inflationary increases that are going to help you put food on the table and pay your mortgage. That's one I'll really highlight. Embedded in our Fair Pay Now campaign has been an equal pay for equal work component. Right here in the Madison area, Verona is a school district that I'll lift up, where the union, the educators working in the schools, right, we unearthed real inequities in pay from a male teacher doing with the same level of education, doing the same job as a female teacher, making close to $20,000 more a year in salary. So equal pay for equal work is a principle that I think most Americans believe in. Most Wisconsinites will say, yes, we believe in that principle. That has been one principle we have stood on and won on. Seeing with a lawsuit, right, brought forward by our state union, seeing a tremendous win there for equal pay for equal work and back pay for the individuals. The Verona 10, I think is the right term for the folks who raise their voices, put their names forward in saying we will sign on to a lawsuit and won back pay for the time that unequal pay had been a piece of their school district. Yeah. It also put other districts on note, Monona Grove being one of them, that WEAC will step in and we will litigate on cases where inequities exist.
And that is a perfect, powerful example. It really, really is. And I think compensation for educators has always been an issue. It is an ongoing issue. And I think something that I reflect on often is just because it's always been this way doesn't mean it's right. Just because we've always historically been an underpaid profession does not make it right. And to hear you speak so passionately about continuing to advocate for that and for reasons that sometimes I forget about, for reasons, you know, we want to live in the communities that we teach in. We want to be able to afford our own homes. We want to be able to make ends meet. And we're doing really, really important work. I think to piggyback off of that, one of the successes the Middleton Cross Plains School District had closely connected to that were some issues around equity and pay when we're looking at trying to attract new staff, right? We kept bumping up the bottom, mm-hmm. and those veteran staff were not seeing the same benefits. Mm-hmm. And staff coming in with maybe 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 or 5 years less experience mm-hmm. were making more or at the same level of a veteran teacher. Mm-hmm. And when you're looking at how do we also retain staff, that was huge. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to remember also, and for anyone involved in education and wondering about how the union works or how it benefits us as professionals, it's a process. And some of us expect change overnight. Some of us expect it to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And when it doesn't, we sometimes feel like the work's not being done. But it is, because I can say in Middleton, before I left, I retired in 2023. We had started that conversation. That had been an ongoing conversation at every compensation meeting, right? And it didn't happen, I want to say, for Middleton until the end of last school year. But it did happen. And mm-hmm. those are the important takes time. Things. Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. And wow, just having this conversation, there are so many things I want to share. This might turn into a regular segment, folks. We might have to make this a monthly thing because it is so big and encompassing, and there are so many little pieces that sometimes we don't recognize are happening. Mm-hmm. And they're happening to benefit the work that we do. And really, the best outcome is the student outcome. When you see the difference we make for the students. Gosh, can you think of something similar, maybe, Tony, that you've experienced, or something else we can add on to?
Well, I just remember I've also been part of the union. Especially when I first started teaching, I joined because everybody said join. And then as I got more mature as a veteran teacher, you realize everything that unions do for you collectively as your staff, for your students and all of that. I know that we would have meetings with our administration mm-hmm. about pay. It's like trying to figure out a pay structure and how, you know, and we were on a freeze for a while. Yes. And there were so many things that happened after Act 10 that we needed to try to get something in place. And luckily at that time, the superintendent was able to, like, hey, let's talk about it. Let's get a committee together, inviting teachers to the table, our members to the table. And that was important to us, obviously, because we wanted to have a say. So I felt glad that we could be part of that. There were little things that happened in our district as well, as far as meetings that we had and, you know, job descriptions that needed to be more clear.
Yes.
You know, all of those things were important in Columbus when we were advocating for those teachers. Are there things that are happening in Monona Grove right now that you can speak to, or things that you're looking forward to this school year with your union?
Well, you know, a couple other districts were mentioned, and mm-hmm. you know, Verona, Middleton, this mm-hmm. kind of ring around Madison.
Yes.
One of the things I really believe is a success, both for Monona Grove and I hope others, is those comparables, looking at yeah. what are other districts yeah. settling at.
And, yeah.
Monona Grove had a huge success
yes.
this last year. Mm-hmm. Before the school year ended, we were able to settle in all three of our bargaining units. We have certified staff,
mm-hmm.
we have support staff,
mm-hmm.
which includes our admin assistants and paraprofessionals, mm-hmm. and we have building services.
Mm-hmm.
And for those other bargaining units, this is the first time they've had a transparent pay scale,
mm-hmm.
which kind of in a way resembles a teacher's salary schedule,
mm-hmm.
where there's years of service, different
right.
lanes.
Yeah.
We use other districts like Verona and Middleton and others that maybe have a student services lane. We want to be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about increasing that base salary for that beginning teacher. It's about those veteran teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us that have been through those pay freezes,
mm-hmm.
we might not be able to correct in 1 year that, you know, this is how many years I've taught, years of service versus what step I'm on,
yes. mm-hmm.
because there's been going off of schedules
mm-hmm.
and back on.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can do is look at what are they doing in other districts.
Mm-hmm.
And in ours, we were able to expand our after step 14 to, instead of the 1,100 per step, now to 1,200.
Mm-hmm.
So our most veteran teachers, we can use that as another
mm-hmm.
benchmark or another
nice.
Metric to say, how are other teachers doing that have been in the district for 20, 25
mm-hmm.
years, and what's happening at Monona Grove. So,
yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
No, I am so glad you brought that up, because that is such an important point. And Peggy, when you reference we,
right.
this
we
would not
we,
happen
mm-hmm.
if we were not meeting collectively.
Mm-hmm.
So not just as a local group,
mm-hmm.
we, but as a regional group. You mentioned the ring, the regions we have.
I don't go out
together.
And get all those comparables, right? Those
right.
are provided from WEAC
that is provided
and the regions
WEAC
and the organizers.
Mm-hmm. Locals. And not just in Dane County, because we're seeing it seep out into the other counties, because it's, you know, we can travel. We can travel to other districts that are going to match what we're making maybe in a Dane County
mm-hmm.
district. So it's not just the impact we can make here in Dane County, but that impact in Dane County then starts to spread
mm-hmm.
into our smaller communities,
oh, yeah.
especially our communities that perhaps don't have the immediate resources, or even sometimes distance is a factor. But using that information that we have gathered to say,
mm-hmm.
hey, this is what's happening here. How do
mm-hmm.
we make that happen in our district?
Mm-hmm.
Here's some successes they have here, and look at the outcomes. How do we make that happen in our district? So it's not just about the work that we're doing
mm-hmm.
within our own locals. It is impacting districts across our state.
Yeah.
And that is a win
mm-hmm.
for everyone.
Yeah, it
yeah.
is a win. Yeah.
So, you know, that sometimes a tough thing to talk about is some of the barriers, right? And I sometimes have to check myself because I might get a little frustrated with some of the barriers that I maybe have heard in the past in my history in trying
mm-hmm.
to encourage potential members
mm-hmm.
to be a part of their union. And maybe we can share some successful ways we've addressed some of those barriers or helped our folks understand
mm-hmm.
Maybe some of those myths that have been perpetuated
mm-hmm.
Sometimes by district leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It happens often by our leaders at our state level government. But what
mm-hmm.
are some of those things? And maybe Peggy,
yeah.
if you could start out.
Yeah.
Sure,
yeah.
you've had
of course
lots of experience with that.
Absolutely. Well, we referenced in this conversation, because I have seasoned
mm-hmm.
veteran educators
mm-hmm.
with me,
mm-hmm.
You know, you referenced Act 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for your listeners who maybe aren't as familiar,
mm-hmm.
right? So piece of, you know, framed as the budget repair bill in
mm-hmm.
2011 that removed the right of public sector workers to collectively bargain, right? Or to sit across the table, and bargain over all kinds of issues or items in our schools, right? Mm-hmm. All kinds of things that matter to our students in our classrooms. Mm-hmm. So I like to have an opportunity in any interview I'm doing to talk about WEAC's coordination with other public sector unions and mm-hmm. in our fight to regain the rights to collectively bargain for public sector workers in Wisconsin. Yes. And so that is a case that if you haven't been following, we saw a tremendous victory here in Dane County, right? When our case was, the legislation called Act 10 was ruled unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. So big victory.
Yes.
And in the litigation front in moving us forward. Now, certainly the case, you know, is on appeal and we move into all of the what we'll call procedural machinations. Everybody loses me when I start to talk too deeply about that. But the real takeaway, right, about what WEAC is fighting for is that in coordination with other public sector unions, we're fighting to get our right to sit across the table from our employer again and really negotiate over the things that matter to our students in our classrooms. And we will regain that right for that across the table negotiation on all kinds of things. And that'll happen.
Yeah.
Know that that victory is coming. And so when we think about the barriers, right, because you reference conversations with people who say, well, you know, the union doesn't have the leverage. Well, we're fighting to have that full leverage again. So let's put that to the side. But also know that for all your listeners, that's a fight we're deeply engaged in and one that we will win.
Yes.
So in terms of other barriers, you mentioned perhaps your principal or your superintendent who may say, oh, yeah, you may have heard about education associations or local unions. We don't have one of those here. We started today's conversation. We'll say it again.
Yeah.
Every school district in the state has a local union and a local education association. So your listeners can go to WEAC.org. There's even a spot for them to go to go to join now.
It's very easy.
They can join directly online on our website, WEAC.org/join now, and they can join with us. In our local districts, we've got members across the state, and depending on your local, you may have a very robust, like Monona Grove, a very robust set of building reps in buildings who are listening, networking with you about what you need in your classroom, ways that they can assist you, whether you're brand new in the district or you've been there for 10 years, with the kinds of questions you've got. We also assist with professional development. I would be remiss if in today's conversation I didn't mention the huge swath of professional development offerings the union has offered by union educators for our members. That extends all the way into our NEA folks, where if you're a member, you have access to what are called micro-credentials. So free professional development that comes as a piece of your membership. So one of the big barriers, right, is that maybe someone says you don't have a union, you have a local union. And you can access it at weac.org/join now.
Yeah. And there are so many benefits. And I'm glad you brought up the professional development because I have participated in the professional development and it is phenomenal. I think when you talk to educators, who do they learn from? Other educators,
right?
Some of the best professional development that I have been involved in has been presented by educators. Mm-hmm. Some of the best supports I received as an educator were from my fellow educators. Mm-hmm. And the fact that these credits are being offered for free at no cost and at times that are available to us as educators is so important. Mm-hmm. And I think even if we go wider, looking at some of the benefits in savings for your auto insurance, your health insurance, your homeowner's insurance, I think those are things sometimes people aren't aware of.
Absolutely.
That there, even going down to, as a WEAC member, you get discounts at a lot of local places. You get discounts at places not just in Wisconsin, but across our country, right? And that's a saving. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned this before, but just having this conversation, I'm like, oh, we have so much more to talk about, right? We absolutely so do. And I, one of the things that I was thinking about when I was thinking about my time in the Middleton Education Association, shout out to my peeps there wearing your shirt, is oftentimes I would hear, well, we don't need a union, or I don't need a union because I'm a good teacher.
Yeah.
This is where I pause.
Yeah.
Because this is where I really had to respond carefully, because I have ways I'd like to respond. But we are all good teachers.
Right.
I have always been surrounded by good teachers. I am not a part of my union because I'm afraid I'm a bad teacher and I need protection. That's not what my union does. That's not what our union does. Mm-hmm. Our union lifts us up. Our union will step in if we are not being treated fairly, if we are not afforded the due process that we are entitled to. And it does happen. And it's not a tactic that anyone has ever used to say, hey, you better join because what if this happens?
Right.
Likely, it's not going to.
Right.
In my 25 plus years in Middleton, very few times when it became a situation where we had to go, you know, we had to get legal advice, we had to go to court, we had to whatever. That's not why we exist. We are all good teachers.
Right.
And that's why we exist, because good teachers want to do the work for our students. We want to work to our full potential, and that can't happen without what's happening here.
Yeah.
It's a professional organization.
It is.
Right?
Yes, it absolutely is.
We have master's degrees. We're best practices, using those, continuing to learn, even if things cycle around under a different name. Mm-hmm. But that being part of that organization gives you not just the security and protections, but it really does lift us up.
It does.
Right?
It
educates.
Does.
And if it wasn't there, I can ask potential members and say, you know, who's going to do this work
at
a local level?
Right.
Right. Who's going to have those relationships with school board members?
Mm-hmm.
Even though after Act 10, there are different rights, and we can still meet and confer with the district. There are many superintendents and deputy superintendents and building business managers and others at the district office that probably want to hear the teacher voice. And it's much better to hear it from colleagues that have collected it with support than it is to get some survey from administrative offices.
Yes.
You're not sure who's, you know, what's going to happen with that information. So it's a way to gather information. You know, we have only 7 buildings in our district. It's not a huge district, but I don't know when I'm teaching in my middle school what's happening at the high school or elementary and what their working conditions are like. I only know from working at the elementary school 15, 20 years ago that it's a different workload, right? And so there are maybe reasons why some of our more veteran high school and middle school teachers are more active in the union.
Yes.
But there are things that we can do being active to hear those voices, to try to advocate for co-planning time, making sure that there are